Welcome back to Sister Brunch, the podcast all about Black women and gender expansive people thriving in entertainment and media. I am your host, Fanchen Cox. Sister Brunch traveled to New Orleans for the Essence Film Festival this summer, where we had the amazing opportunity to interview incredibly talented filmmakers and writers and actors about their craft. In these next few episodes, you'll be hearing our conversations live from the Essence Film Festival's Filmmaker Lounge. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sister Brunch podcast. My name is Fanchen Cox. I'm the founder of Trujillo. Trujillo stands for Truth, Justice, and Love because we uplift stories that speak truth in pursuit of justice and service of love. Our guest today is definitely an example of that. And one of our productions is the Sister Brunch podcast, and we have been incredibly lucky and fortunate and privileged this year to bring the Sister Brunch podcast to the Essence Film Festival. We're so grateful. Yes, let's shout out Lamonia Brown, Amma Larbi, who have been so integral in bringing Sister Brunch here this year. And this is something I've been waiting a very long time for. I've been a fan since Lincoln Heights. But then we got to meet, and so even when we met, I was kind of still fangirling. You were on a stage, and I was like, what if I meet her someday? So we have the incredible Nikki Michaud, who started as an actor and has incredible shows under her belt. You will have seen her on television in shows like Lincoln Heights, In the Dark, 6 Feet Under. You will see her in front of the camera, but she is here at the Essence Film Festival with her feature directorial debut. So welcome, Nikki Michaud.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's exciting. It's exciting.
We're so glad to have you.
I'm a director.
You are a director. So after I fangirled out with you, then I somehow convinced you to go to lunch with me. And at that time, you were looking for financing for this film. So I think this is an amazing opportunity to talk about your journey in getting this film made and what it meant to have to get that financing, because we don't talk about that enough for sure, and how you got here.
You know, it's a funny story because I started asking for financing, talking about financing, trying to figure out how to get financing way earlier than I actually got financing. So I probably talked about it for years and then created a business plan. I had a pitch deck and I would send it out and it was going really nowhere. But I kept going, kept talking about everyone that I would meet. I've got this film and I'm trying to raise money. And eventually an investor that I had met years ago, before I'd even written the film, came to me and said, hey, I see you doing all these things on Instagram, and I want to be in the entertainment business now. I'm ready to do it. I was like,
yes,
that's great. So, and I really actually didn't believe him, because I thought, okay, sure, you know, because he had said no many times. And then we got together and decided to do it, and we formed a production company. So we have a production company called 360 Films.
Yes.
And because he wanted to go all in. He didn't want to do it halfway. He wanted to go all in. He didn't want to just do one project. He wanted to put Black content about us, you know, in the world. And, of course, that's what I've been trying to do this whole time.
It's what you live for, yes.
So we got started, and he funded the first film, and we also are doing a documentary on his family. It's a story about three brothers born into poverty and raised in an abusive home. One brother became a preacher. One brother went to prison for 30 years, and then my investing partner went on to become a multimillionaire.
Yes. Okay, wait. I want to stop you because I want to, you know, we love to both inspire and also educate the women and girls that are listening. When you talked about that you had a business plan put together,
yes.
What did that look like? And then let's talk about Summer of Violence. So talk about what the film is about and what that meant as you were putting your business plan together.
Well, when I put the business plan together, it was more of a literally casting the vision. I'd like to do this many films. I'd like to do this budget.
So this was for a slate of films.
It wasn't just for Summer of Violence.
Okay.
And at that point, I'm not sure. Again, I've been doing this many years. I've been casting this vision. I'm not sure Summer of Violence was on that plan, but it was all. I had a board of directors. I had convinced people to come on my board. So it was a large plan. So that when Johnny Wimbrey came to me about partnering, I already knew what it would take because I had already written it down.
How did you learn how to do that planning?
I'm going to say LinkedIn is your friend.
Yes, yes.
LinkedIn is your
friend. Yes.
And I reached out to many alumni who were doing finance in the film business who helped me. And I asked and finally found someone who helped me and walked me through it, which leads you to the next person. Mm. And then so gradually I began to learn. So by the time Johnny came into the picture, I was ready to do so many things. And it was a question of, was I going to do Summer of Violence, which was a personal film to me, about a young woman who had dreams of being a poet. But she had a controlling father who wanted her to go to law school. And so when she said, no, I'm not doing that, he cuts her off. Mm. She ends up moving to Denver during the very deadly summer of violence set in 1993. And it was all about love and poetry and how do you move forward when you're living surrounded by a culture of violence. And I don't limit that to gang communities because so much of what we're living through right now in the United States is a culture of violence. Because you never know when you go to the grocery store or the movies or a park or a concert and there's going to be a shooting and it's going to affect you. And what the movie is about is how violence has ripples throughout our culture.
Yes.
And how it impacts those of us who keep living. Because you don't have to be hit by a bullet to be hurt, to be traumatized by the violence that's in our society. Not only that, we've got the violence that we witness on video and we're triggered by. So I wanted to explore how does one's heart, how does one's soul keep going, you know, in the midst of that. So that's what the film is about.
Is it autobiographical at all? If you're comfortable, are there pieces of it?
There are parts.
Did you have a personal experience?
Oh, yes. I lived in Denver during that summer. So at that point in time, it was, I think, 59, 76. I can't remember exactly how many people were murdered, but I lived right in the middle of it in Capitol Hill, and it was crazy. It was really crazy, and I had so many crazy stories of that summer and surviving that summer and having PTSD from that summer, and I wanted to talk about it, but I couldn't. It really couldn't be autobiographical because it didn't flow. You know?
Okay.
You know, so when you do a story based on true events,
yeah. You
do kind of have to rip it up. And then start over.
Right. I was going to ask about that because this is a, it's challenging for a Black woman to get financing, period.
Yes.
On top of that, if what's getting financed, there's horrors getting financed, right? These like deep genre.
Mm-hmm. Which I love.
Same. And yeah. I remember even when we were having a conversation as you were looking at financing, and I was like, are you going to have to add elements of sci-fi or all of these things that might make it easier? You're telling a character-driven story, you know, that is, many, many challenges in getting this financed. How did you, how did you do it?
I mean, Johnny believed in me.
There you go.
Johnny chose me.
Yes.
And funded me.
And the film
was secondary. Honestly, because Johnny didn't even read the script till we were like 3 weeks into production.
I have to say, all you have to do is follow Miss Nicki Michaud to understand why she is someone that would get funded in this way. Truly, that
really?
Somebody would come. Absolutely. First of all, you put yourself out there in the world. You let us go on journeys with you on your social media.
Wow.
And it's so beautiful. I appreciate it so much. We get to see your journey of filmmaking. We get to see all of the things that you're doing. And you're on TikTok now as well. So we'll make sure everyone knows.
My daughter's working it out for me.
And the relationships that you built. I think some people who are performers, you know, in front of the camera kind of may tend to just stay in front of the camera, not necessarily build relationships. You are a relationship builder. So it's for all of these reasons that someone came along and said, I believe in you.
Yeah, and he wanted to do it together. Can we take it to the next level? And then, you know, my brother came on board, and he was absolutely the same.
What's your brother's name?
Brian Mitchell.
Okay.
And so he came on board and has been pushing us to, oh, my God, you need all these people. Because, as you say, it is not a genre film. It is a character-driven piece. So we do need a lot of support because we are looking for distribution.
Okay.
So we do want people to come to summerofviolence.com and sign up on our mailing list because I think it says become an insider. And we need your zip codes because we need to know where you live so that we can tell the theater bookers, the theater owners, people want this movie. And if we don't put our, it's like signing a petition, you know, to let people know that there's money there. Mm-hmm. Because this film has a lot of heart, a lot of love, and a lot of hope. And the audiences that we've shown it to have fallen in love with this film. But how do we get people to know it exists?
Right. So you're just coming off of ABFF and came straight to Essence Film Festival, straight from ABFF.
Yes, we're here.
So first of all, congratulations on that. You are finding audiences.
Yes.
These are not festivals that are easy to get into. So that that is huge. That's speaking. But now your point is, how do we now get that into actual theaters for people to see them? Or distributed?
Yes.
Are you looking at potential? Distributing
are talking to distributors. There's interest.
Great.
It still comes, and that's why this time is so important, because we have interest, but we have to show them there's an audience.
Okay.
We have to show them they're moviegoers, because you know it's hard out there.
Yes, it is.
In the movie-going business.
Yes.
It's hard for theaters.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to the movies unless it's Marvel.
Yep.
So,
and even that, honestly, some of those are not
doing
well.
It's
really hard.
So it's a tough landscape, but, you know, I'm here for it. Everything that we, you know, everything that, as a black woman in this business, it's all hard. It's all uphill.
Yes.
It's all, but that's okay. I mean, I have so much fun making movies, telling stories. I mean, being able to see how the audiences are moved by either a film that I'm in or one that I've created from the ground up, it is everything. And it's why I keep going, because if we want to see something different, we have to put it out there.
Yes.
And then we have to do the work to do it. I mean, I look at what Tyler Perry did.
Yes.
I look at what Ava DuVernay has built.
Yes.
She built it. Nobody gave it to her.
Yep.
The doors don't always open for us, so we have to keep kicking them down and expanding this marketplace for us, because there's a market.
There's a market. And we can support each other, right?
Yes.
That's a, I love to your point. I think this is, you know, your own kind of like PR and marketing plan to have people go on the website, put their zip codes in.
Yes.
It's so smart. And I think that we have to think outside the box, because again, we're not going to get the support in the industry, but there are ways that we can find to support each other. So I love that.
Well, I mean, that's the beautiful thing. We're in a free market society.
Right.
Run it.
Run
your race.
Yes.
Do it. There's nothing that can substitute hard work.
There you go.
I mean, that's
what
we're doing. And we're getting out here and spreading the word. We have our street team here.
We are
doing everything that we can to let you see this beautiful work. So I'm excited about it. I mean, but it's hard. Yeah, sure. But I'm excited about it.
You've made this a beautiful transition. And not to say that you won't continue acting, but your example that you can be an actor, you can be a producer, you can be a director, you can do all of those things.
There's a couple other people who've done it. You know, there's a Issa Rae.
Robert
Townsend.
We have some examples.
There's a few people, you know, who show that you can do this. Seth Rogen, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many actors who are expanding and expanded. And that's really, honestly, it makes acting more fun for me.
I love that.
I get to do all of this play on the other side of the fence. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go do a movie, because actually I'm doing a horror movie next.
Can you tell us more about it? Okay.
I'm acting in a horror movie that I can't tell you about, but I'm directing a horror movie.
You heard it here first on Sister Brunch.
Yes, I am directing a horror movie that I am projecting that we will get the funding for this film.
Okay.
I'm just claiming it.
As we should.
And I'm directing this horror movie about, I'm not going to say, but it's going to be fun.
It's really going to be fun.
I'm excited about it. But, you know, because again, I've been kind of like, what does it say? It takes 10 years to become an overnight success. I've been planning this for a long time. The vision has been cast with that business plan. That slate of films is still there. Mm-hmm. But I keep getting better. I'm better as a writer. I'm better as a director. So it's fun to be on this journey. It really is.
I love it. So Ms. Nikki Michaud, as we honor and celebrate so many of our black icons this weekend.
Okay.
We're reminded of the importance of legacy and the people we come from. Can you tell us about an early memory you have of learning about black history that made you feel more confident or that more was possible for you?
This is interesting because people may not like this person because of her political views. But one of the people that I have really admired in terms of what they accomplish and build, and I hope people don't get upset, but it's Condoleezza Rice. Because
as long as you didn't say Candace Owens, I hope. Okay.
Why even mention her name?
You're right. Thank you. Okay.
Anyway,
but
so
yes.
Because Condoleezza Rice broke into a world that is really not for us and spoke many languages and went to the top. I mean, I believe she was the national security advisor, even though it was for Bush. But still, the achievement of what she accomplished is significant. I mean, to be fluent in Russian, to be in those spaces, you know, and this is, and the reason why I am keen to it is because, you know, I'm a political science major. And
I did not know that.
I'm a political science major, and really what I write are political thrillers, because that's my bag. So, and it's always been like, oh, well, how can we, you know, have you, Black Nikki, do this spy movie? And I'm like, y'all don't know Condoleezza Rice? You know, because it's because they say we don't exist in those spaces, so we can't do, you know, our Black female, you know, James Bond. We can't do our Black female version of Jason Bourne. But because we are so conditioned to think that we don't exist in these international spaces like that, and if we do, then we have to be British. And I'm like, Condoleezza Rice, I believe, is from the South. So for me, what she achieved, the barriers she broke, regardless of the differing opinions and politics, you still have to commend what she did.
Absolutely.
And so I know that's probably a funny answer, but but I do look at that.
It's,
you know,
hard to be a Black woman doing anything successfully. I mean, so absolutely,
yeah.
I think that's a beautiful example.
Because, I mean, you could sit at the table with kings and princes anywhere in the world, literally anywhere in the world. And it's hard to be a woman. I mean,
yep.
You know, if you look at where women sit in the world, where we sit in the world, I mean, so many women don't have access to education, can't run their own lives, can't make their own decisions. I mean, so being a woman in powerful rooms, more of us need to be trying to get into rooms. I'm trying to get into your heart, you know, through the films.
Beautiful.
That's why I do what I do. But I think that's my short answer to the question. That's it. That's
did
it.
Did you get that? Did you get that? That's going to be a clip.
Did you need a clip?
Right,
did
great.
You need it shorter?
So we have some a signature question we ask at Sista Brunch. Sista Brunch comes out of the DGA trainee program. So there were Black women mentors who brought the trainees, the Black women and women of color trainees, out to lunch outside of the trainee program so that they could talk the real talk, right? Really
so needed.
Break it down, what it's really like. Mm-hmm. And Anya Adams, who's our co-host and executive producer, started hosting the brunches at her house. She invited me. I got there, and as you know, I do inclusion work in the industry, mm-hmm. and kept being told, we can't find anybody to hire. There's not enough Black women to hire.
Yes.
And I sat there and was like, they're all right here.
Yes.
So we created this podcast so people could hear the stories of the women who are out here doing the work. And so we can say, yes, here's a list of these women. And they're not just names, they're stories. So we want to know, since we are related to a brunch, you and your younger self are out to assist a brunch.
Okay. And we're having mimosas. Okay.
What are you drinking and what is she drinking? What are you eating?
Me and my younger self. Okay.
And what is she eating? And then
she's having mimosas.
Oh,
I
like her.
I've
like
moved on to tea.
Okay, yeah. Not even a little drop of some something.
Look.
I know.
It does not come off the same.
We tried to go to Missy Elliott last night. How could we miss Missy Elliott? But I was old and I had to go to sleep.
First of all, we have long days. I mean,
we have very long days.
Noon.
Yeah, that's right. That's why.
I'm up early and I need my sleep. And plus, I've seen Missy Elliott. You know, that's how long I've been here.
Yeah.
Seen her a couple times.
Seen her, done that.
A couple times. And
probably good friends with her. You can get her.
No, I wish.
You and me both.
I wish I could get the backstage pass.
Yes.
Say, hey, Missy, hey, girl, how you doing? It's been so long. I like the way you did that one song, but next time. what are we eating? Oh,
yes.
Gosh, what do I? You know, it's funny. I'm not a breakfast person, so I always like brunch because you can get lunch.
Brunch
food.
Is the best. Yeah. Yes.
My
yes.
younger self would have always gotten like a hamburger or a turkey burger. Me today, gosh, oh God, I'm one of these people, but I'm going to say it. Avocado toast.
No, oh, yeah, you're so L.A. Oh, see, we got, yes, okay.
I'm getting tea.
There's some love for the avocado toast. There's nothing wrong with that. It's delicious.
It's funny. I would have never eaten it. You'll be surprised. You know how I started on avocado toast?
How?
When I was trying to lose weight? My nutritionist.
Yeah, it's
put
very.
Put me on avocado toast as like a filling breakfast. One piece of toast, a little bit, not a lot of avocado toast. Not that what they put on at the restaurant.
Like three
they put three avocados on
there.
That's two eggs. It's just like a spread, a thin spread. So he hooked me. He got me in the mood of that, even appreciating the taste. So now when I'm going, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have some avocados. And I still can't understand why it costs $14.
Well, but that's ridiculous. Isn't that just ridiculous? And some avocados. Which we have an avocado tree in the backyard. We could, you know, if you need, when we get back, I will just deliver some avocados to your house.
I would love that. I'll just take one a week. I have to keep coming by. But yeah, that would be the difference. But so I've come a long way from mimosas and burgers to tea
and love
avocado
that.
Toast.
All right. So most importantly, you're sitting at this brunch together, and what do you tell her?
You know what I would tell her is you go for the thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever that thing is that you are trying to do.
Yes.
And especially for me as a director, because I always wanted to direct. I actually directed a little bit in college, you know, but it was plays, it was shorts, I was co-direct. And I put that dream to the side to act because I thought, I think I was even told, you know, focus, can't do more than one thing. Lies.
Let's say that out loud.
They haven't met a woman because until you have kids, you know the lies they tell.
Yeah.
Because you can do many,
everything.
Many
you
things.
Can do everything.
I got
yes.
two kids. I'm running this house. I'm running these two dogs, and they have their dreams, and I'm supporting them. And I'm doing me, so stop with the you can do. Get. Anyway, so I would tell her, go for the thing. Because.
I love it.
We've been trained that, you have to wait or you have to do A, B, and C to get to X. I would just say go for X, and you will figure it out along the way.
Yes.
You know, there's a quote that I love. You know enough to get started.
Perfect.
And that's it.
Perfect.
Just get started.
Oh, you got that? Okay, because that was, yes, you know enough. You always know enough to get started. That takes us full circle to how you ended up directing Summer of Violence. You said, when you said, oh, and we did this business plan, I was like, how'd you do that? And you're like, well, you knew enough to get started on that business plan.
Yeah.
You had enough relationships to help you make that business plan.
Yes.
And here you are.
Yes, because, you know, you can't do all the things.
No.
But there are people that you know that are really fingertips away. And honestly, YouTube, there's a video for everything. There's a video.
So
for, and
true.
Then LinkedIn, they've hooked up with, I think it's Lydia or you. There's all these different schools online teaching classes. I mean, you know enough to get started.
Yes.
You go to film festivals. You meet people.
You follow Nikki Michaud.
You could follow
really,
me.
Truly, her social media accounts alone are a lesson for us.
I'm trying to tell you.
Have to tell me.
But
yes.
No, so that's the key thing that I would say to her and that I say to my daughter who has her own big dreams, you know, just get started. Because you will figure it out as you go. And God just puts things in the path.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't reach out to Johnny. He came to me watching me on social media. I see what you're doing.
Yes.
I'm ready. What do you think? And yes, let's go. Let's run.
Beautiful.
Let's run. And even directing the film, my first film, and now we were producing it through my production company.
Yes.
You know, how do you run a production company? Okay, well, let's just get started.
You know enough to get started. Yes.
Yeah. And then you call some people. You go, hey, so I would like to have lunch. Maybe talk about how to set up a company. You know? So
I love it.
That's all you do.
Nikki Michaud, thank you so much for being on Sister Brunch. We are supporting you. We're following you. We will continue to watch your career grow and thrive. And we're just truly proud to have you on.
Well, it is my pleasure to be here. I've been seeing you doing this. I am so proud of you because running a podcast, the schedule, the content, you know, and you are such a good host. You are so, I've been watching, no. You are a really good host. I mean, did you guys see how engaging this was? You're going to,
Stop.
This is so engaging. So engaging. We're live on Instagram right now. And
oh,
so,
hey, Instagram.
Yeah, no, we're live on Instagram.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
So
I didn't
totally,
even
yeah, don't.
Oh, now we got to wait.
Don't shrink under the spotlight. No, but I just have been watching you since you launched this, and you are such a good host, and I'm so excited about it. So kudos to you.
Thank you, sister. Thank you.